You know, sometimes life is like a lazy river. It's going somewhere, but there's just not a lot of commotion, right? Life can be like that, just a lazy river. You know it's going somewhere. It's just chill. You like that, right? But we all know sometimes life is like Niagara Falls. And you feel like it's just going to come rushing down and crush you. And you don't know how far the drop is. Well, my life was like that this week. For about 48 hours. I lived a lot of life in 48 hours. I was on the mountain. I was in the valley. And everywhere in between. Let me just tell you a little bit about what happened to me this week. And I'm sorry to change things up on you, Bob. But I did. I changed things up a bit. I'm just going to share four things that happened within 48 hours, actually 36 hours, in my life, Kathy's life. First of all, my brother's daughter, Jimmy, lives in Minnesota. His daughter, Kayla, 30 years old, she got engaged to her first boyfriend, Drew Christensen. He's a state legislator in the state of Minnesota. Kayla never dated till she met Drew. I'm very, very happy for her. Brian and Esther Hudson, my niece, it's Kathy's sister's daughter. They were here with me once when I did a sermon. On Friday, they just headed for the Middle East as missionaries. Esther is expecting a baby in December, January. And by faith, they have left for the Middle East. Brian is going to be teaching English as a second language. They're joining a team of missionaries there. They will have the baby over in the Middle East. And they're going to a place that is very hostile to Christians. And so that's the second thing that happened. The third thing that happened is our daughter Karen had a little baby girl. And so Maylee Grace is her name. Thank you. Well, for 31 hours, Karen wasn't clapping. And neither was I. Okay, Karen did everything right through pregnancy. Baby's perfectly fine, healthy, and, you know, labor, first one. She only heard her mother's stories. Kathy's longest labor was like 5 hours. You know, Karen herself was born. We were getting ready for church when Karen was born. It was a Sunday morning. It was about 8 o'clock. And Kathy was stirring upstairs. I was in the basement of my office, and I went upstairs. I said, "Are you okay?" And she said, "Well, I think so." Now, this is 8 o'clock. She said, I think so. I said, "Well, it would be helpful, because there's church this morning, if you would let me know if we're going to do anything this morning." And so I went back downstairs, and, you know, I was grabbing my hymnal, my Bible, my notes and stuff, getting ready to go over across the street. We lived in Morgantown at the time. And she says, "Hey, I think we better go to the hospital." Because it's like 10 after 8. That's the fastest trip to Reading, Pennsylvania I ever made from Morgantown. I'll tell you what. We were rolling, right? Karen was born before 9 o'clock. So she just heard those kind of stories. Well, that wasn't a story for this child. And so, yeah, so for 31 hours, of course, I wasn't there. I was trying to mind my own business and get ready for this weekend and things. And, it was just long, exhausting. She has used a midwife. They were at a birthing center. Midwife finally said, "This ain't working, so we're going to get you to the hospital." So off to the hospital they went, and it wasn't many hours later that the baby was born. Baby's fine. I didn't know it, but the baby was fine the whole time. So I got to hold her last night. And Karen's just exhausted. She might be home tonight with Tyler, but quite an ordeal for them, their first experience, but God was good. Well, at the very same time, all this is happening at the same time, by the way. My niece got engaged. Brian and Esther got on a plane and headed for the Middle East. Karen's in labor, and then also we got a call that my father-in-law recently has been diagnosed with cancer. They live in Georgia 6 months, and then they come up to Western Pennsylvania 6 months. So granted, they came home from Georgia in May, middle of May, got the place all cleaned up, got all their chores done, and within 3 weeks, Dad was diagnosed with cancer, had a brain tumor, a metastasized melanoma. Did the operation on the tumor, a lot of other things. He seemed like he was fine. Well, doctor just did a test, was a little curious about some things, and on Friday into Saturday, looked down in his stomach, found another tumor, bleeding tumor, pulled the scope, gathered my mother-in-law, and just said, this is so, so aggressive, and there's really nothing we can do. They were treating his brain with radiation every day, and he just said, we're going to stop all treatment. Released him to hospice, so they're going to take Dad home tomorrow, and they're not even giving us a time. They're not saying days, weeks, whatever. So Kathy and I are going to try to celebrate a little bit with the kids for the 4th of July, and then we're going to get in the car and go home. But that's a lot in 36 hours to go through. And in my prayer time during this season, riding the rapids, the verses from Proverbs just kept coming to mind and ringing in my ears, if you will. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6 are very familiar, but I added 7 and 8. And I just felt the prompting of the Lord to go over in my mind these verses. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. And another way to look at this, friends, is in all your circumstances, regardless of what you're dealing with, in all your circumstances, acknowledge Him. And He will make your path straight. Don't lean on your own understanding. Don't try to figure that out with human wisdom. But rather trust in God. And by this, Solomon means the sovereign God, the God who is sovereign over all things, over the universe. He is the creator. He is the genius behind all creation. Don't be wise in your own eyes, Solomon continues. That's where I think we miss when we have our little memory packs. We memorize Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. That's great. But then we leave Proverbs 7 and 3, 5, 3, 7 and 8 in the dark, and they're meant to go together. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord. Turn away from evil. And honestly, friends, part of what is evil is just worrying obsessively as if God was not sovereign, as if God did not exist. Now, why should you do this? Solomon tells you. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. I thought about these four things. My niece Kayla, her and my son Matthew are almost exactly the same age. Kayla is a firm believer in Jesus. She is grounded and she loves the Lord. And she loves the Lord more than anything. She loves the Lord more than some guy who wants to date her who doesn't love Jesus. And over the years, she's said, no, I'm not settling. I will not settle for a man who does not love Jesus. And so she's remained single. She won't even date. She's a believer. She's someone who believes that God sovereignly will allow her one day to be married to someone who will share her faith and her passion for the gospel. And along come Drew Christensen. And they began to date and to share common interests and their love for Jesus. And over time, they've decided, this is it. This is right. This is of God. Friday night, he did what a lot of charmers are doing lately. He made some elaborate date in order to give Kayla a ring. Thought, wow, you know, I don't know where I was 30-some years ago. I just took my wife for a walk up the hill and gave her a ring. Like, man, I missed it somewhere. But if Kayla were here today, and of course she's not going to be here and she's not going to talk about this, but I'll tell you about my niece. In her heart, she believed that God had a plan. And she was not going to lean on her own system or understanding of how her life was going to go. And she would not compromise in all her ways in this regard. She acknowledged Jesus. And he has made her path straight. She chose not to be wise in her own eyes. She chose to fear the Lord and turn away from evil. And in her mind, evil was to connect herself with someone that did not share her passion for Jesus. And it has been healing for her and refreshing. And now to the entire family. Our family has a text group. Sometimes it's wonderful, sometimes it's very annoying. I woke up this morning with 48 texts on my little thing there, you know, and it's all this stuff going on. And like, whoo, well, we're not even Italian. All right. Now, moving on to Brian and Esther. Now, there's a lot of people, there's a lot of Christians who think Brian and Esther are just nuts. Absolutely nuts. Because they are going into hostile territory to spend their lives with Muslims who don't know Jesus. Brian's a very intelligent individual. Can easily learn the language of those people. And then teach them English, and he can speak to them almost as good as they can to their neighbors in their mother tongue, and yet he can teach them English. And Esther has a way of ministry with Muslim women, and you need to understand they're going into a place I'm not even allowed to say. I'm not even allowed to tell you where they're going, exactly where they're going to be, and what's going on. It's just not allowed by the mission board. Evangelism is illegal and punishable. And that's where they're going, and that's where they're going to have their baby. And their theme song is Trust in the Lord. Now listen, you don't do that with your life if you don't really believe the gospel. If you don't really believe that Muslims need Jesus, you don't do that. You see, we can get dressed up and put our fancy 4th of July gear on. Best I could do. We don't get dressed up and do that. Coming in here and we don't sacrifice a lot. Coming into this worship experience, it doesn't really say a lot about what's really at the core of what we believe. Now, I'm not questioning your passion for the gospel, but I'm saying you don't do what Brian and Esther do if you don't really believe that without Jesus, you're in danger of hell. You just don't do that. They are trusting in the Lord. They're not leaning on conventional wisdom and common sense. But God is making their path straight. They're not being wise in their own eyes. They're fearing God and turning from evil, and they are refreshed. And it's a blessing to see how God has provided for them and what God is going to do in and through them. For Tyler and my daughter, doing all the things that they should do. You know, they went to their little class and everything you do when you're having a baby. And they love Jesus. They love each other. They're very much in love. And they're realizing, just because you love Jesus, just because you serve God, doesn't mean everything's just going to happen the way you want it to. It doesn't mean you're not going to get a scare. It does, and you know, honestly, God didn't have to allow Karen to deliver a healthy baby. God didn't have to do anything. For whatever reason, God allowed them to go through this, and their theme song last night being with them is Trust in the Lord. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. Whether labor is 46 minutes or 31 hours, trust in the Lord. Because in His sovereign wisdom and sovereign love for them, He felt, God felt, that they needed that experience. And I said to my wife yesterday, you know, after I held that little girl in my arms and she made a face at me. I said to my wife later, I said, they're going to be different people now. They're, in a way, they're not kids anymore. They went through something pretty rough, where for a little bit there, they didn't know what was really going to happen. Is the baby okay? Is she going to be okay? She just was so exhausted. But trusting in God, recognizing God doesn't owe me anything. God doesn't owe you anything. And God doesn't owe my in-laws anything. And here's what I want you to know about my in-laws. My father-in-law just turned 76. He's been healthy. In my opinion, he's young. 76. The Kathy's side of the family, they live well into their 90s. My father-in-law in this state is telling his children and us to trust in the Lord, that his home is in heaven, that his real and eternal existence is not on earth, but it is in heaven. And cancer can only destroy his body. It cannot destroy his soul. And he has lived his faith. And he's an avid reader, a theologian, a quiet man, but a guy who was rock solid in his faith. And a month ago, 6 weeks ago, he was fine. He was home mowing grass, picking up sticks, cleaning things up from the winter. And then all of a sudden, he's down at Allegheny General Hospital in Pittsburgh having brain surgery and one thing after another, and now he's barely conscious. He's not long for this world. But he's not clinging to this life, and neither is Mom. Mom's gathering us in, and what are we talking about? We're talking about Jesus. Now, I'll tell you why I'm a Christian. Here's why I'm a Christian. Because I've been watching people for a long time, and I realize that there's nothing that really matters here. Not what you own, not what you wear, not what people think about you, not how you look, not whether you have influence or power or whatever. Nothing really matters because nothing really lasts. But only Jesus and our relationship with him really matters, because that's the only thing that's going to last. You see, you're not going to take your house with you when you stand before God. You're not going to take your car. You're also not going to take your patriotic tie or shirt. We're just going to be standing before God alone unless we're with Christ, unless Jesus is in our heart, in our mind, in our conscience, unless we've trusted in the work of Christ, the atoning work of Christ. So we stand before God. That's the only thing that really matters. And without it, we're still in our sins. And so as my father-in-law has been going through this, and by the way, my mother-in-law has been diagnosed with like pre-leukemia. So she's starting to take like oral chemotherapy. And all of this is, you know, like I said, it's like Niagara Falls. But every day, every week, we keep coming back to that verse, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't try to figure things out. Don't lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. And he will make your path straight. And so, as I thought, my in-laws are using this tragedy to do the same thing that they would use a 4th of July picnic to do. And that's bring attention to Jesus. Make it one more cause for prayer, for reflection on the Bible, for giving thanks to God. You know, typically on Tuesday, we'd all be at the Smiths and we'd be doing a little stuff around the house, probably shooting guns, having a fire, having a cookout, but it would be the same thing. Dad kind of directing our attention to Jesus and our sharing what we're thankful for and just enjoying family. This week it'll be different. We'll be gathered around his bedside. But we won't necessarily be doing different things. The circumstances will be different. And so as we celebrate this weekend the privilege of being citizens of this great country, may we understand that God is calling us to trust in him. Trust in him with every circumstance. Sometimes life is like a lazy river, right? It's going somewhere, but wow, you wouldn't know it. It's just calm. And sometimes life is like Niagara Falls. What the Bible wants us to understand is that God is in the river at both spots. And as a Christian, I'm standing on solid ground no matter where I am. Now, I thought about something as I was holding my granddaughter in my arms. She's got a good set of lungs, by the way. And I thought, well, you know, what's it like to be an atheist? You know, to be hardcore evolutionist and to hold your granddaughter and think, well, we're just all blobs of tissue, you know, we're born, we do whatever, and we die, and that's it, you know. And I'm looking at my little granddaughter and thinking, no, there's destiny here in the life of this child. There's a purpose. God has a purpose for this child. I'm already praying for her salvation. All right, this is not an accident. This is not a blob. This is sovereign blessing. And then, so in one moment, I'm holding my granddaughter. In another moment, I'm on a phone or on Hangouts talking with my sister-in-law, my wife, about dad and trying to figure out, all right, how much time does he have? So I'm holding new life and getting ready to let go of another one and thinking, you know, this is why I'm a Christian. You know, an atheist just says, well, you know, he lived, he died. It's all meaningless. Hopeless, that's what I would say. There's no hope in that. There's not even any common sense in that. God calls us to trust in Him and to allow the Niagara Falls moments to prove to us His sovereign care and guidance. Now, you have your own lazy river moments. You have your own Niagara Falls moments. But I want you to know today that God is in the river at both spots. And He calls to you, and He simply says, listen, trust in Me. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Don't turn to your own understanding to try to fix this, try to figure it out. But trust in My sovereign plan, and understand that this life is not really the main event. We are prepared by the blood of Jesus for an eternity to be together and to be rejoicing in His presence. Everything will make sense then. Not everything makes sense now. But we have the God who loves us and is faithful from generation to generation. And I encourage you, I urge you to trust in Him.